Okay, so let's unpack this. I want you to try a mental exercise with me for a second. It might feel a little bit like we're stepping into a writer's room for a dystopian sci-fi show.
Yeah, I know the feeling.
But stick with me because this is actually happening right now. Picture a virus on your smartphone.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
But I want you to erase the image you probably have in your head. I'm not talking about those dumb, clunky scripts we've dealt with for 20
Right, the
years.
old spray and pray approach.
Exactly.
Oh.
Not the kind that just spam pop-ups for casinos or try to run a command and crash if your phone is the wrong model.
Annoying, but usually pretty stupid.
Right. I want you to imagine a piece of code that sits on your phone and can actually see your screen. It looks at your apps, it reads the text, it literally thinks about what it's looking at, and then it decides on its own, without a human hacker tapping away in a basement telling it what to do, which button to click next.
It's a terrifying thought. And the part that really keeps security researchers up at night is that we don't have to imagine that scenario anymore. As of February 2026, that is officially the reality we're living in.
It feels like a massive pivot point. So today we are doing a deep dive into Prompt Spy. If you haven't heard the name yet, you absolutely will.
Oh, yeah, it's being called a total game changer in the cybersecurity world.
Which is a phrase that gets thrown around a lot, but.
I really don't think it's an exaggeration here. I mean, this is the first confirmed Android malware to integrate a live generative AI model directly into its execution flow.
And specifically, we're talking about Google's Gemini, right?
Yes, specifically Gemini. And it's important to note it's not using AI to write code before the attack, it's using AI to run the code during the attack.
That's the distinction that really grabbed me when I was going through the research for this deep dive. Because, for the last year or so, we've heard all about hackers asking ChatGPT to write a better phishing email.
Or fix some buggy code they wrote.
Okay. Right. But that's using AI as a development tool.
We are way past that with Prompt Spy. This is the malware itself reaching out to an AI brain in real time while it's sitting right there in your pocket.
To figure out how to navigate your phone and stay alive on your device, it's wild. So we have a really heavy stack of sources for this deep dive today.
We do.
We're pulling from the technical discovery by ESET researcher Lucas Stefanko. He essentially cracked the code on this thing.
It's a fantastic piece of research.
It really is. And we're pairing that with a strategic analysis from Technigian, which is an IT services firm based out in Southern California.
And I really like that we're including that Technigian
You
analysis,
too.
because usually in these deep dives, we can get a bit stuck in the weeds of how the virus works technically. But the Technigian report zooms out to ask what this means for, say, a law firm in Orange County.
Or a massive hospital network.
Exactly. It moves the conversation from a cool tech story to why your boss should actually be panicking.
Which is always the fun part. So our mission today is pretty simple. We need to figure out how Prompt Spy actually works under the hood, why it solves a problem that has plagued hackers for a decade, and most importantly, what you can actually do about it.
Let's get right into it.
So to really get why Prompt Spy is such a huge deal, I think we have to talk about the headache hackers have had for years. It's a concept called device fragmentation.
Right.
It sounds super technical, but it's actually pretty simple.
It is. And this has been the Achilles heel of Android malware for as long as Android has existed.
Yeah.
If you're a malware author, the Android ecosystem is kind of a nightmare environment.
Because there's so many different phones.
Exactly. You have Samsung, Google Pixel, Xiaomi, OnePlus, Motorola, thousands of different devices with totally different screen sizes and resolutions.
And unlike the iPhone, where everything is standardized and basically looks exactly the same, these Android interfaces all look completely different.
Completely different. Every manufacturer sort of skins the Android interface. A settings button on a Samsung might be in the top right corner.
Yeah.
On a Pixel, it might be buried in a drawer. On a Xiaomi, the text might be slightly different. Even the pop-ups look different.
So in the old days, and by old days, I mean like late 2025.
Right, ancient history.
How did malware handle that? Like, if I wrote a virus that needed to click yes on a permission box to give itself access to my contacts, how did it know where the box was?
It was incredibly crude. You basically had to hard code coordinates. The malware script would have a literal line of code that said, click a pixel X500, Y300.
But what if I have a bigger screen? Or what if I have large text enabled because my eyesight is bad?
Then the malware clicks empty space. Or, even worse for the hacker, it clicks the cancel button by mistake.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the attack just fails. It was super brittle. You essentially had to write a completely different version of the virus for every single phone model you wanted to target.
That sounds exhausting.
It was. Or you just accept that your virus is going to fail on 50% of the phones it manages to infect.
It's like trying to give someone directions to the bathroom in a house you've never been inside.
That is a perfect analogy.
You're just guessing. Walk 10 steps and turn left. But if the hallway is longer, they just walk face first into a wall.
Exactly. And this is exactly where Prompt Spy changes the rules of the game entirely. Honestly, looking at the ESET breakdown, the way it does this is so clever, it's actually kind of annoying.
It uses Google's Gemini AI to give itself eyes.
Right.
So walk us through this loop, because this is the real aha moment of this whole deep dive. The malware lands on my phone. It needs to click a button to give itself permission to run in the background. What actually happens?
Okay, so typically malware just guesses, like we said. Prompt Spy doesn't guess. It pauses. It accesses the accessibility service on your phone and takes a literal snapshot of your screen.
But wait, and this is key. It's not just the standard image, right? Not like a screenshot you'd take to show a friend a meme.
No, not a JPG. It performs what's called an XML dump. Think of XML as the structural blueprint of the screen.
So it's grabbing the raw data underneath everything.
Exactly. It captures the text labels, the exact coordinates of every single button, all the hidden UI elements, everything that makes up the display structure.
So it has a map of the screen. It knows that the button labeled confirm is located at these exact coordinates on this specific phone.
It has the map. Then it packages that map up and sends it over to Google's Gemini AI via an API call.
Just pings it right over.
Right. It basically sends a text prompt to the AI that says, hey, here is the layout of the screen. I need to find the add to recents button or the confirm button. Tell me exactly where it is.
It's literally asking for directions. Like, I'm in the kitchen. Where's the fridge?
Precisely. And Gemini, being a large language model that is very, very good at parsing code and structure, analyzes that XML dump.
It processes the context.
Yes. It understands that confirm on a Xiaomi phone means the exact same thing as OK on a Samsung phone. It understands that the icon with a little gear means settings, even if the word settings isn't physically written there.
That's the thinking part. That's semantic understanding.
Right. The Gemini sends back a specific instruction. It returns a JSON formatted command. JSON is just a data format computers like to read. And the command says, click at these specific coordinates, X200, Y800.
And the malware just does it?
The malware executes that click using Android's accessibility service. Then it checks the screen again. If it worked, great, move to the next step. If not,
it just asks Gemini again.
Exactly. It asks again. It's a self-correcting feedback loop.
That is...
it's crazy.
It's impressive engineering, frankly. It's like giving the virus a brain. It's no longer a dumb script. It's an active agent.
It solves the device fragmentation problem instantly. The malware author doesn't need to know what phone you have. They don't care if you have the new Galaxy or some cheap burner phone you bought at a gas station.
Because the AI figures out the interface on the fly, exactly like a human would.
Yes.
I want to pause on the implication of that for a second. We usually think of hackers as these master coders writing perfect, flawless scripts. But this really democratizes it, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. You don't need to write perfect code if you have an AI that can fix your mistakes in real time.
That's the real danger here.
It lowers the barrier to entry while simultaneously raising the sophistication of the attack. It makes the malware adaptable.
So right now, looking at the ESET report, the main goal of this big AI brain is just staying installed.
For now, yes. The primary use of this loop is persistence.
Define that for the listener who isn't deep in IT. Why is persistence so hard to achieve?
Sure. Modern Android is actually very aggressive about killing background apps to save your battery life. If an app isn't doing anything or if it's using too much juice, Android just kills it.
And malware hates that.
Malware wants to run 24/7 so it can spy on you constantly. So Prompt Spy uses this AI loop to navigate your specific phone's settings menus and pin itself to the recent apps list.
Oh, that little padlock icon you sometimes see?
Exactly. That tells the operating system, hey, I'm important, don't close me. Now, to do that manually, you have to navigate 3 or 4 different submenus that are totally different on every single phone.
But Prompt Spy automates that navigation using the AI to literally read the menus.
Yes.
So it utilizes one of the smartest, most expensive AI models on the planet just to make sure you can't get rid of it.
It's using a sledgehammer to crack a nut, but it works. It adapts to any device automatically.
Wow. Now let's talk about where this thing actually came from, because with AI tech moving this fast, it feels like it just popped out of the ether.
We can actually trace the timeline pretty clearly here, which is rare in cybersecurity. It started with an ancestor called VNC Spy.
VNC Spy. Very creative name.
Literal. That popped up on VirusTotal, which is a huge database for malware analysis, on January 13th, 2026. And that version was uploaded from Hong Kong.
Okay, so January is sort of the beta test.
You could definitely say that. It was clunkier. It didn't have the full AI integration yet. Then, less than a month later, February 10th, 2026, the advanced samples appeared.
From where?
These were uploaded from Argentina. And this is where we see the full prompt spy capabilities with the Gemini integration.
So in roughly 4 weeks, they went from standard malware to AI-integrated adaptive malware.
The development cycle is really accelerating. And the way they're distributing it is super clever, too. It's not just floating around in some shady corner of the dark web.
How are people actually catching it? Is it a phishing email or what?
They're using a dedicated domain that looks incredibly legitimate. They set up a fake JP Morgan Chase Bank webpage to lure victims in.
Oof. Targeting banking users immediately. That really raises the stakes.
It suggests this isn't just a science experiment. Whether it's fully in the wild or just a proof of concept right now, the infrastructure, the fake bank site, the dedicated domain, it shows real intent to steal data. They want financial credentials.
Okay, so let's play this out. I'm on my phone. Maybe I'm tired. I see a link that says update your Chase app. I click it. I download the app. The AI does its thing and pins the app to my recent list. What happens next? Is it just sitting there mining Bitcoin?
Oh, absolutely not. Once it's pinned, it stops being just a nuisance and becomes a full-blown spyware and remote access Trojan, RET.
And the toolkit here is just terrifying. I was reading through the capabilities in the research, and it's essentially a stalker's dream.
It's totally comprehensive. It has a VNC module, which stands for Virtual Network Computing. That means the attacker can see your screen in real time.
So they are literally watching me scroll TikTok.
Or watching you type an email. Or watching you check your crypto balance. But it gets so much worse. It can intercept lock screen PIN.
Wait, how does it keylog them? Because I thought keylogging was really hard on modern Android.
It doesn't even need to keylog. It records the screen. If you use a pattern, unlock, you know, connecting the dots on the grid.
Yeah, I use that. It feels way easier than typing numbers.
It records that action as a video file. The attacker can literally watch the video of you drawing your pattern, slow it down, and replay it to unlock your phone later.
That is incredibly creepy. It's just looking over my shoulder digitally.
It also monitors exactly which app is in the foreground at any given time. So it knows when you open your banking app, when you open your work email, or when you open your crypto wallet.
It's waiting for the high-value targets.
Exactly.
Now, usually if I download a weird app and my phone starts acting funny, maybe it gets hot or the battery drains super fast, my instinct is just to delete the app. Problem solved.
Usually, yes. That's the standard advice we give. But remember, Prompt Spy is explicitly designed to outsmart you. ESET researchers found a very nasty defense mechanism it uses called the invisible rectangle.
This sounds like a magic trick or something out of a horror movie.
It's digital sleight of hand. Let's say you figure out Prompt Spy is the problem. You go to settings, you find the app, and you go to hit uninstall.
Right. I'm pressing the button.
Prompt Spy detects that you are on that exact screen. It instantly overlays a transparent, completely invisible button on top of the real uninstall button.
So I'm tapping the screen.
You're tapping the screen, but your finger is hitting the invisible layer, not the button underneath it.
Wow.
The tap is intercepted by the malware. Nothing happens. You can tap it 100 times, and the system simply won't register the uninstall command.
That is maddening. You'd think your phone was just frozen.
Exactly. You'd think it was a glitch. You'd think, stupid phone, not, oh, I have sophisticated AI malware. It's basically gaslighting the user.
So what do you actually do? Throw the phone in the ocean?
You don't have to go that far, though it might definitely feel like it. But the fix is something the average user, you know, my mom, your neighbor, probably doesn't even know about. You have to reboot the phone into Android safe mode.
Safe mode. I know what that is on Windows, but I didn't even know Android had a safe mode.
Most people don't. It disables all third-party apps on startup. So if you boot into safe mode, Prompt Spy can't launch.
So it can't run its AI loop and it can't create those invisible buttons.
Exactly. Then you can finally go in and uninstall it safely. But if you don't know safe mode exists, you're just stuck. You are trapped in the room with the virus.
Okay, so that's the nightmare for you as an individual. But I want to pivot to the business side. We have this analysis from Technigian. They're an IT services provider out in Orange County, and they are looking at this strictly from a corporate perspective. Why are they ringing the alarm bell so loudly?
Because of the so what factor. It's all about the context. Technigian points out that Southern California, and specifically Orange County, has a massive density of healthcare, finance, and legal service industries.
Really high value targets, lots of sensitive data floating around.
It's extremely high value. We aren't just talking about a few stolen credit card numbers. We're talking about HIPAA data, merger and acquisition details, lawsuit strategies, and the main vector here is BYOD. Bring your own device.
Right, which everyone does now. I mean, I use my personal Samsung for work, email, Slack, maybe jumping on the company VPN.
Almost everyone does. But here is the scenario Technigian lays out. You get infected by prompt spy on that fake JP Morgan site on Sunday night while you're sitting on the couch. You walk into your office in Irvine on Monday morning.
And that phone is now a spy inside the corporate office.
Exactly.
Connect the dots for us there. What is the actual worst case scenario for the company?
Credential harvesting leading to lateral movement.
Translate that into English for us.
Okay. Remember, the malware records your unlock pattern. It sees your screen in real time. If you use that phone for two-factor authentication.
Oh, like the code specifically designed to keep hackers out.
Yeah, the approve this login notification or the six-digit text message. The attacker sees that notification pop up. They see the code. If they've already managed to phish your password, and now they can see your 2FA code, they have the keys to the kingdom.
So the phone just becomes a bridge.
Yes. The primary risk isn't just that they steal your personal photos. It's that they use your phone's trusted status to jump onto the corporate network.
Wow.
If you're a lawyer in Santa Ana handling sensitive case files, the hacker isn't breaking into the law firm's server firewall. They're just logging in as you.
It's scary because the malware doesn't need to hack the firewall. It just needs to hack you and then ride your credentials right in.
Precisely. And because it uses AI to adapt to the device, it's highly reliable. It doesn't crash like old malware. It stays there watching, waiting for you to access something valuable.
So if you're a business owner, or really just someone who wants to keep their job, how do we defend against a machine that literally learned? The Technigian report had some specific ideas, right?
They did. And they emphasized that just installing a standard antivirus app on your phone isn't going to cut it anymore. You need architectural changes.
What exactly do they recommend?
First, zero trust and segmentation.
Those are pretty big buzzwords in the industry. Break them down for us.
Zero trust means exactly what it sounds like. The network stops trusting a device just because it logged in correctly. It constantly verifies. It asks, is this user behaving normally?
Yeah.
Why is this user accessing this sensitive file at 3 a.m.?
It essentially treats every device as if it might already be infected.
Exactly. And segmentation. That's about limiting the blast radius. Does the marketing guy's phone really need access to the entire company financial database?
Probably not. Just email and a few shared drives.
Right. If you segment the network, even if Prompt Spy gets in via that one phone, it's stuck in a small ream. It can't roam the whole building.
And I assume they talk about controlling the devices themselves too.
Yes, MDM, mobile device management. It's totally essential now. If a phone starts acting weird, or if an employee reports they might have clicked a bad link, IT needs a kill switch.
They need to be able to remotely wipe that corporate data immediately.
You can't wait for the user to figure out how to boot into safe mode.
And finally, I feel like we have to mention the human element here. We always circle back to this on the deep dives.
Always. You have to teach people about sideloading.
That's installing apps from outside the official Google Play Store, right?
Yes. Prompt Spy relies on you downloading that fake banking app from a random website, not the official store. If employees understand that no legitimate bank, not Chase, not Wells Fargo, will ever ask you to download an update from a website, you cut off the infection at the source.
It sounds simple when you say it out loud, but people fall for it all the time. The graphics on these fake sites look real.
The JP Morgan lure was very convincing. Education has to be a continuous process. You can't just do a boring seminar once a year. You have to create a company culture where people are deeply suspicious of urgent updates.
So where does this leave us overall? We've got malware using Google's own AI against us.
It leaves us in a totally new era of cybersecurity. We have to accept that malware is no longer static code. It is adaptive. It uses the exact same tools we use for productivity like Gemini to attack us.
And this isn't just one hacker in a basement in Argentina, is it? This really feels like a trend.
No, it's absolutely a trend. If we look at the bigger picture, Google Threat Intelligence recently confirmed that state-sponsored hacking groups are already using Gemini right now.
Wow.
They're using it for reconnaissance, for writing complex code, for translation.
So Prompt Spy is just the first consumer-grade example we've seen in the wild.
Exactly. It's the trickle-down effect.
Yeah.
What the high-level spies use today, the everyday scammers use tomorrow, Prompt Spy is just the warning shot.
You know, before we wrap up, I have a thought that's been nagging me since I first read the brief for this deep dive.
What's that?
Right now, PromptSpy uses AI to see the screen and click buttons. It understands the interface.
Yes, it understands geometry, labels, and basic navigation.
But the AI models are getting incredibly good at understanding context and language. I mean, Gemini isn't just a vision model, it's a language model.
I see exactly where you're going with this.
If the malware can see my screen and understand it, how long until it starts talking to me?
That is the perfect provocative thought to leave on. Imagine the malware isn't just clicking uninstall. Imagine it sees you are on WhatsApp chatting with your boss.
Right.
It reads the chat history. It understands the tone, the specific slang you use, and then it just jumps in.
It replies for you.
Or it opens a pop-up that looks exactly like a message from your boss, using the precise language your boss uses, asking for a sensitive file or a wire transfer.
Social engineering on complete autopilot.
With perfect context awareness. You aren't being scammed by a script anymore. You're being scammed by an intelligence that has read all your personal emails. The era of dumb viruses is definitely over. We are entering the era of persuasive malware.
Well, on that completely terrifying note, definitely check your permissions, stick to the official Play Store, and maybe don't download that random banking update from a website.
Very sound advice.
That's it for this deep dive. Stay safe out there and carefully watch what you click.